Wait for the balloons to fall from the sky. Imagine the balloons falling from the sky. Episode 50. That's a milestone. Wow. That's more than many showbiz careers, Chris. We've made
it. How about it? 50 in the can as of today. This is show 50. Holy cow. I'm very just excited to be able to go on this long with you. Unfortunately, there's just that much information out there that we need to keep going through. But I don't know what I'd do without you, Joe, to be real honest. I think our businesses and our community are doing a lot better than other communities. And I think a lot of the magic is what you've provided us. And I really mean that. I'm not trying to just say that so you don't cut me off of the show here, but I'm trying to say it because I really do feel like St. Pete's doing better. So let's start by showing the numbers and let's talk a little bit more about why we feel that way. But do you mind if I can grab your screen real quick from you? I'll just show you what I've got and we'll go from there. So the good news, Joe, is we're starting to see what we thought we were going to see, which is kind of that stabilization of the numbers. As you know, what we always want to show is just these two numbers are what we're really looking at is we've been told by the governments we will be shut down if we don't get a handle of these numbers. So you see, for the first time in, since we've been reporting, they both are unchanged. So this means that our weekly percent, that means less than 2% of everybody we test is positive. And now we've kind of stabilized at this 19.6 number of new cases, which is still a lot of people. And so you can see this is that same 19.6 just showing you we were up as high as 24. Now we're starting to level off at this number. If we level off and go back down, it would be kind of that natural decline that they were talking about. So now I see the data showing what I'm hearing from the experts. But what the other things we just need to look at is, look what we posted on this last date of the test for Pinellas County, almost 4,000 people got tested. So if you feel like you want to get tested, you can get tested. There's a lot of free testing going on right now, as well as through your doctor's office and the hospitals. But we put almost 4,000 in the system, and we only had 10 positive. So, this 0.3 number. So for the last week, you and I were getting worried last week when we were seeing these big numbers. These were from the assisted living facilities and retirement centers. Now we're seeing the general population numbers, and they're what we're hopeful of, as well as the activity of our hospitals. But I've got a new number for you here now, Joe. This is just because I really want to show this is the number that most concerns me, because if you get sick, you want a bed. You want an intensive care unit. Pinellas County has now helped us by putting together this metric for us. So now I know exactly how many beds are available in Pinellas County. I know how many ICU beds are available and who's using them. And I know how many ventilators are available. So if you are concerned about if I get sick, can Pinellas County handle this? I would say absolutely we can. And we are doing that. So to me, it's a good news story right now, Joe, is like the data. And I know there's a lot of concern about the data itself, but now we're understanding and we're close to those who are talking about it is these are the real numbers for Pinellas County. This is the best we have, and our hospitals confirm them. So we're going forward and saying it's a good news story so far. But I would also suggest if you are vulnerable, if you're older and you have another sickness, it's not time yet for you. Please stay indoors. Please still order out. Don't go out. We're just getting started. And we said careful one step at a time. So that's the story. But you know what the real story is? 50 of these. I don't think there's any other city that moved as quick as we did, Joe, to get the conversation going about how do you get through this. And the day I called you was the day we were coming back from the Grand Prix lunch. And I was like, shit's hitting the fan is what I said to you, I think. And you're like, well, what can I do? And I was like, can we just talk about it? Can I get the mayor on your show? Can we create a show? Can I get just information out through you? And you were like, absolutely. That day you set us up in your office and we started going from then. And so what I thought is, instead of bringing another guest, how about if we bring in one of your key reporters, let's just talk about what the catalyst is for St. Pete, what you guys have done in the model, because I think that's actually a big story as well. And there's part of your big story right there is your key reporter, Margie Manning.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Joe.
Margie, it's good to see you. I know you know Joe pretty well. He works with you. I know you and I've seen you report since I was at the Tampa Bay Partnership. You were doing it at the Tampa Bay Business Journal. I think that was probably 15 years ago when we first got to work together. And now you're working for Joe. We're going to talk a little bit about what all that's like. And so thank you for joining us. But before we get started,
St. Pete's side of this area now.
Well, I told you were the smart one of the bunch. But before we get going, we do it all the time. Just introduce yourself to folks. Tell a little bit about who you are and where you're from and all that kind of part of it.
Sure. So I'm Margie Manning. I'm finance editor for St. Pete Catalyst. I have started my journalism career in St. Louis, actually at a radio station, KMOX Radio, which is a big CBS radio station in St. Louis. Moved to the St. Louis Business Journal in 1995, relocated to the St. Pete area in 2003 to start a small ice cream shop on the beach with my husband. I went back to work for the sister paper, Tampa Bay Business Journal, in 2004 and moved to St. Pete Catalyst about 2 years ago now.
All right. Well, welcome. It looks like you are working from home still and cranking out all the news that's fit to print, right?
That's right. It's a lot of fun.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're sound, but I'm also glad, like you said, you're in St. Pete and you're doing a great job for us. So before I get to you, Margie, so I want to start with you, Joe. You know, this whole thing called The Catalyst, what is it? Is it a publication? Is it a media? Like, how do you describe what you are delivering to our audiences?
It's a great question, Chris. So what we are is a social news platform. And the idea is we want to be a conduit for the best ideas in St. Pete. At the core of that, our key gravity is the news, which is, you know, which Margie and Bill and Megan put out. And then layering out from that, we have our community voices, which are the organizations we partner with who commit to put content on our platform. And then the most exciting space to me is the comments. And we've taken measures to sort of take the best of social media and invite those conversations. But we moderate all of our comments so that they don't get hijacked like they do on a lot of other platforms. So that creates an environment where, you know, people who are really thinking can come and know that their ideas aren't going to get trashed. That, you know, people will stay on topic, because anything that does that just never sees the light of day, as, you know, as best as we can. And we've actually got to a point which is super exciting, where we're taking some of those, the comments have been so well articulated, we're actually putting those out as content separately. And I envision a world in the next couple of months where we actually have threads of conversation that are so sharp, we'll actually start releasing those threads. And this is what I see as that sort of crossroads between traditional journalism and bringing in the community and the social elements as well, to find that sort of space in the middle. So that's the vision for The Catalyst.
Well, you know, it strikes me, Joe, as so you and I are operating our organizations under a similar guise. It's kind of like, you know, I talk about Maslow's safe, belong, and matter as how I'm running the chamber. You got to make people feel like they're safe to articulate their message, that their message matters, and that they belong, that they're part of it, that they can contribute. And what I hear from your model is that's what you're really trying to do with these people. So it's not information coming from above that should, you know, that it's information that's being created through the community itself and a place to have that conversation. And maybe, Joe, and I mean this, maybe that's why St. Pete feels a little different, because we're having conversations. We're not talking at each other. We're talking with each other. I know that sounds trite, but that's the way to do it. But I think it also stems from you guys are covering the good stuff. So let me ask, you know, your key reporter here, your finance editor, however you want to describe her, but I know she's a superstar on this. Margie, how can you guys be so prolific writing these stories so deep and so meaningful? Like what's behind that? Is it something new, or is it something in your heart? Where does that come from?
So Chris, I love being a news reporter. I love telling people stories, and that's what I wake up every day just eager to tell news stories, and I want to be the first one in all of St. Petersburg to tell our readers that story. And so, you know, there's so many good stories out there to tell. They're not all good news, happy news, but important news. And I'm really grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. And one other thing about the comments, you know, we get comments on our stories. I get comments on my stories. Sometimes they sting a little bit, but they make me a better reporter. So I really welcome them.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think, you know, it shows, but those like you said, those comments can be the next story you write, right? It might turn you on to the next lead that actually helps you think differently about the stories. And that's, you guys aren't trying to come with one perspective. You're just trying to understand the perspectives. I think I think that's a little different. Now, how has it been just working in this kind of environment where you were being asked to cover everything from the comfort of your home? Like, has it been better, worse, hard, easy? What's it like?
It has its pros and cons. Journalism at its best is sort of a team activity. You know, you bounce ideas off other people, and luckily we have, you know, all the tools. I'm sure all offices have Slack and everything where we can have communication. But initially there was just a fire hose of news. There was so much going on. It was hard to keep up. It's moderated a little bit now and choosier about what it is we're going to, the story it is we are going to tell, but there's still a lot of important news coming out. One of the great things about all this has been that so many people now have to put their meetings and data online, that there's that many more resources for reporters to tap into. So I can hear meetings that I might not otherwise have heard.
Hey, I know this might be a harder question to put you on the spot, but what's the best story that's been missed because of COVID, just taking everything else? What have you wrote that you're like, geez, if this was not a COVID day, if we didn't have COVID, this would be a story we'd spend a lot more time on and a lot more people would care about?
Well, I did a series, I think it was last week, called Inside the Boardroom. And it was, this is proxy season, the time when public companies report on their executive compensation, their board practices, and those sorts of things. And I did a deep dive into that for the largest public companies in this area. It's important information. People need to know how public companies, about the corporate governance of public companies and what makes them good citizens and responsible to their investors. But the COVID news really overshadowed a lot of that. I hope people go back and read it.
I think they will now that you've just said that, so I appreciate it. And then Joe, so like, how you got Margie, how big of an enterprise is Catalyst? It seems like you must have 20, 30, 50 people writing these kind of stories, or what is this a slim organization? What is it?
There's one Margie equals 10 mortal reporters, okay. I think is sort of the equation I use. But we really take advantage of and invite that content from the community. I love to do interviews and have some shows and things that I run. Bill's taken just an amazing lead in the arts community, running the Catalyst sessions every night, and his fire, the passion he has for keeping the arts flame alive in St. Pete, is something we're really going to grow into. We started as a business publication, and Bill single-handedly said, there's a vacuum now. People are abandoning arts coverage, and I'm not going to let that happen in St. Pete. And he's willed us, into this direction, and I've certainly embraced it. And we're going to have some pretty cool things coming down the pipe this summer in the arts scene as well. So, we're three, and then me is four, and then we've got a good support staff and social and some of our designers and developers and stuff. But and that's the beauty of being a conduit and a platform is that we also have the community on our staff as well, which is fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, so like when you started all that, how far did you think you'd get to this point? I mean, did you even envision like all the types of coverages and all the kinds of show and program? Because you're not just a newspaper or a news source, yeah. You're providing content, entertainment, information. Was that part of it, or has it just all morphed as opportunities came, or was that part of that grand plan and the business plan?
No, it morphed. It totally did. We're community service minded, and so I've been on many committees with you and with Grow Smarter, with the EDC, with the city, and a lot of these efforts. And there's all these great minds that were there putting out these ideas, and they face the same challenges that a lot of businesses face, which is really just dissipated attention. And it's hard to the ROI and getting attention nowadays is hard. And so, we wanted, I think in general, was to take that layer, that cost of attention, cost of customer acquisition, where customers could be customers or just idea customers too, and eliminate that so that, these great ideas could get to people without that drag. I look at St. Petersburg Press as an example of that. We started that press as a service, Paul Wilborn and I, an idea he had. we thought we'd do a couple of books. And, you know, we're up to about 10 books now that we've put out under St. Petersburg Press. Again, all of this serving the literary community and placemaking in mind. But if you were to try to run a press on your own from scratch and build the audience and build the revenue and whatnot, it would be painful. But because we have the rails already built, you know, we kind of get a running start and we can bring our authors in and bring the audience in, and it's good content for the catalysts and it's good for the community and everybody wins. And so we're trying to take that sort of logic and sort of make it just easier for good things to have less of that weight of acquiring the attention.
I think you have, but let me ask you then, is it a model that, I mean, like, are you guys being asked to cover Tampa? I know you're covering some, but like, is it a model that can scale? I mean, we ask a lot of our small businesses when we get them into the greenhouse, do you want to scale? Are you trying to get to more market? Have you built something now that can cover more than just St. Pete, and will it, or how do you see that?
It's a great question. And, you know, the original intention was, yeah, we would expand into Tampa, but I realized, you know, I looked at some of the best facets that we have. We have the Hustle, which features small businesses. We have influencers, which are, you know, people who are doing great things here. And I kind of imagined, you know, I go on the Hustle and I see this really cool coffee shop that somebody just started. And then I see it's in Temple Terrace. I don't know that I'm going to drive to Temple Terrace for the coffee shop, right? And I realized that it degraded the brand of the catalyst, and that local is really the magic. You know, it's all those things that work in big social and big news, but made local. And so, you know, we want to expand, but we're going to do it by cloning. And so we'll take the package that we have, keep it a tight community, and then just, you know, whichever city we'll go to next, we'll repeat that process. And we'll have some synergies where we can connect some of the content between the two. Obviously, if it were to be Tampa, then there's some obvious connections there. But we're really building it as a local platform framework, you know, to compete with people like Nextdoor or Patch or things like that. Because I think there's a big hole in the market there. You know, it was funny because when you think about what service social media has, and connecting you to your neighbors should be right at the top of the list. But until Nextdoor came along, it never happened. You know, how many people were you friends with on Facebook? And that utility wasn't there because of how people gathered on big social. They gathered around those national ideologies, and local isn't about national ideologies. It's about your community. Nextdoor comes along with a very normal sort of software offering, nothing magic about it, but they just said, we're going to serve this tribe that's a neighborhood. And they're a $2 billion company now just by unlocking this sort of underserved tribe. And I think that tribe exists in the local and a more expanded, like at a city level. But I don't think it goes beyond into, you know, a whole Tampa Bay level. So I think we want to find that right size and then clone. And to that end, you know, we'll have a pretty fun announcement around that we did and have closed. And we're going to save that for Margie to dig into. But it'll be a big announcement about a capital raise that we did successfully coming soon.
All right. So that sounds exciting for all of us, because that means you've been successful again. And I know, you know, capital raises seem to be your business now, buddy. You're starting to really figure those out as well. But Margie, what do we miss by not talking about the whole Tampa Bay area in your stories or whatever? Are you able to, like, because you used to be at the a regional publication and they're a partner of mine. And you know, but what do we miss? What do we miss anything? Like how do you see it?
Well, let me put it this way, Chris. I think one of the things that Catalyst does, and I purposely try to do well, is cover the emerging industry of technology in this area. And technology does not have a sense of place in the same way that perhaps sports or other industries might have. So we do cover technology on both sides of the bay, and I think we cover it pretty well. You know, we can't cover Tampa or Hillsborough City government unless there's something major. We would just be stretched too thin and diluting our resources right now. But I do think what matters to our readers is this emerging industry, and I hope we're doing a good job with it.
Yeah, that's a great point. So like Joe's example, the coffee shop isn't something that in a different city isn't as important, but that those cross those bigger tech plays kind of define your market, you know, beyond just the geography. So I can see how that fits, and you guys do cover that really well. So that makes sense to me. So we're not missing much except, but we're just diving deeper. And that's maybe why we start every conversation or end every conversation with, I love St. Pete. It's because you guys are helping us do that. So I guess I just want to say thank you, because I know that was always the goal Joe and I had when we just started talking about it. We realized that we had a pretty special community, and you guys have done something pretty neat. And I believe you're going to be wildly successful with it. And but I hope you always base it here in St. Pete, guys, because we need you here. And thank you for what you're doing for us.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm here.
Well, hey, Margie, you got a raise today as far as I'm concerned. And if you don't want to negotiate it, I will, because I heard enough good things about you that we ought to pay you by the word is what I'm thinking. And if you need me to help you on that, I've got, you know, good legal teams. We'll negotiate for you.
I'm making notes here.
Margie's worth any amount of raise or salary she could get. Is she's worth more. Couldn't do it though.
Right on. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for allowing our Big 50 show to be about how we got here and what you guys are doing for us. And it's a great partnership. I wouldn't know what I've done without you guys. So thank you very much, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.